we present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair's grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Diana Day as Susan, and Leonard Williams as Theodore Craythorpe in...
Clitheroe's Merry-Go-Round.
Jimmy! Jimmy, you wanted on the phone. It's your friend, Ozzy.
He's no friend of mine. He got me the cane yesterday.
How?
He knocked his desk over in art class.
Well, why did you get the cane?
I put the drawing pin on his seat.
Well, you deserve to get the cane. Anyway, go on and speak to him.
All right, I'll speak to him. Hello, is that Blabbermouth? Well, you needn't have told the teacher it was my drawing pin you sat on. You could have said you got cramp. You what? You can get cramp anywhere. No, I don't want to go to the fair with you and your dad. Aunt Susan's taking me. I hope I do see you there. I'll throw a wooden bowl at your head. Why not? You've got your hair cut like a coconut. Oh, that's different. All right, we'll be friends. If you pay for 2 rides on the Dodgems, 3 shots at the Crazy Kitchen, and a trip down the Tunnel of Love. No. So we can get in the boat behind our Susan and Billy Parker. Of course Billy's coming with us. He's here with her now. They're in the garden. I can see them through the window. Hey. They're going in the greenhouse. I must see this. Hang on a minute, Ozzy. Are you still there, Ozzy? I've got me granddad's telescope.
Jimmy! Jimmy, will you finish that phone call and come here?
Righto, Mum. I'll have to go now, Ozzy. Me Mum's shouting for me. Ta-ra! Is it tea time, Mum? Because I'm not very hungry.
I'm not surprised. This morning I bought a pound of grapes which cost me 6 shillings.
Well, they were worth it. I tasted them.
I know you did. There's about 1/2 pound left in this bag.
Well, you and Grandad eat them. I've had enough.
Look, we were taking these grapes to the hospital tonight for your Aunt Ethel.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mum. If I'd known the grapes were for me Auntie Ethel, I'd have been satisfied with just the pears.
Oh, so the pears have gone as well, have they?
Well, there was only 3. Little uns.
Oh, it's my own fault. I should have hidden them. I'll just have to take these few grapes and the 2 oranges in the pantry.
1 orange, Mum.
Oh, no. Jimmy.
Mother, Billy had to go home. He couldn't stay for tea. He's coming back for me and Jimmy at 6:15.
I hope he brings his motorbike. Then he can take you for a pillion ride on the Wall of Death.
Don't be ridiculous.
Why not? I saw a fella on the pictures do it with a monkey on the back. You'll enjoy it. Every time you come round, I'll throw you a nut.
If you had any nuts, you'd eat them yourself, along with the grapes, oranges and the pears you've had. You know, you're just a walking fruit salad.
Oh, Mum, can't you let the fruit drop? It's giving me the pip.
Has he been scoffing all the fruit again?
Oh, you can talk. What about Billy Parker? Tomato chops. I saw you taking him into the greenhouse to feed him up.
Oh, did you? So you've been spying on us again?
I wasn't spying on. It was an accident.
Oh, left my telescope on the telephone table.
I'm sorry for spying on you, Susan.
Sorry? With a telescope? You peeping Tom. Well, that settles it. You're not going with us to the fairground tonight.
You what?
We were only going to the fair to please you. So now Billy can take me to the dance.
Oh, Susan, it was only a joke.
We're going to the dance.
All right, go to the dance. I hope you get cramp in the cha-cha.
All right, it's no use you losing your temper. It's your own fault that you're not going to the fair.
Not going? Oh, Grandad will take me, won't you?
Oh, Jimmy, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm going to the hospital with your mother to see your Aunt Ethel.
Oh, can't you go on your own, Mum? You've only got 1 orange and 1/2 bag of grapes to carry.
Look, we promised your auntie. She's ill, and the 2 of us promised that we'd go and see her.
Well, let's all go to the fair. When you come back?
We're leaving here at 6, and we won't be back till 8:00. Your bedtime.
Can't you go with anyone else, Jimmy?
That's it. Of course. As in, his dad wanted to take me. I'll go round and see Mr. Higginbottom.
All right, but if he does take you, behave yourself. You know it doesn't take you 5 minutes to upset him.
Oh, I'll be good, Mum.
And here's half a crown to spend.
Oh, thanks, Grandad. Mum gave me 3 bob. That's 5 and 6 I've got.
I'll get it, Mother.
Now, Jimmy, if you go to the fair, you've got to be back by 8.
Don't worry, Pat. 5 and 6 won't last him more than 2 hours.
It's Mr. Higginbottom. Will you go in?
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom.
Hello. Young Jimmy was just coming round to see you.
Was he? Well, I've just come round to see him.
Yes, I was going to ask you if you'd take me to the fair tonight with Ozzy.
You destructive little whelp. Have a good mind to belt your lug off.
Now, just a minute, Higginbottom. Not so much of the whelp.
How dare you come in here threatening my son?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Clitheroe, but you can't blame me for losing my temper. I get home 5 minutes ago and find Ozzy's plastic Mac hanging in the hall torn to ribbons.
Well, that wasn't my fault. Blame Ozzy. He shouldn't have such a big head.
Now listen here.
Just a minute. Jimmy, explain what you mean.
Well, Ozzy wanted to play blind man's buff on roller skates.
You must be mad.
That's what I told Ozzy. I said it's too dangerous. So I suggested we had a quiet game of bullfights. But when Ozzy was the bull, he overdid it. He started pawing the ground and snorting. I waved his mac at him. He charged like mad and got his head stuck up the sleeve. If we hadn't ripped the mac to get him out, he'd have suffocated.
Look, never mind all this rubbish. You've ripped Ozzy's mac, and it cost me 15 bob.
Well, Mr. Higginbottom, I think they were both to blame.
Well, of course they were. Look, I'll tell you. We'll pay for half the damage. Now, here's 7 and 6 pence.
All right. But the next time you come round, I'll teach you to play a new game. Pitch and toss. I'll pitch you out of the door and toss you over the fence. Oh.
Quarter past 6. Ozzy will have had a packet of popcorn, 2 hot dogs and a ride on the ghost train to frighten the ghosts. And I'm stuck here at home. Who's that? Hey, perhaps Mr. Higginbottom's changed his mind.
Hello, James.
Oh, Mr. Craythorpe, it's you.
Well, that's not a very nice welcome.
I'm sorry, Mr. Craythorpe.
I should think so. May I come in?
Yes, come into the funhouse and have a good cry.
Oh, dear. I say, talking about the funhouse, I thought you'd have been at the fairground tonight.
So did I, but they've all gone out and there's nobody to take me. Come in, Mr. Craythorpe. I am glad to see you.
Oh, well, that's nice, huh? Your mother's out, is she?
Yes, she and Grandad wanted to take me to the fair, but I made them go and see me auntie in hospital.
Oh, did you?
Yes, and our Susan wanted to take me, but I said Billy had sooner go dancing. And then Mr. Higginbottom asked if I'd go with him, but I said no, because I'd sooner go with you.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Craythorpe, I want to treat you to the fair.
Well, that's very nice of you.
But I've got no money, so I'll let you take me.
Oh, I don't know about that, James.
Well, I had 5 and 6, but Grandad got that off me to help pay for a mac for Ozzy.
Pay for a mac for Ozzy?
Yes, well, Higginbottoms are only a poor family, you know.
Well, I must say, after all the good deeds you've done, you deserve a trip to the fairground.
Oh, come on, let's be off.
No, I'm afraid I can't take you, really. I'm busy preparing the annual accounts for the Women's Guild. That's why I wanted to see your mother.
Well, you can see her at 8 o'clock. She'll be back then, and I'll help you with your sums.
Well, I suppose I could, and I must admit the thought of a fairground appeals to me. I haven't been to one since I was a boy. Yes, I'll take you in the car. It'll be quite a change for me.
Oh, look, Mr. Craythorpe. There's Ozzy and Mr. Higginbottom. Wave to them the next time we come round.
I couldn't, James. The way this hobby horse is going up and down, I daren't let go of the pole.
Well, it's your own fault for riding side saddle. Ooh, that was smashing, wasn't it? I'll bet you're glad you came on the Big Dipper after all, aren't you, Mr. Craythorpe? Mr. Graythorpe? Mr. Graythorpe? Oh, heck, he's fainted.
Well, James, I've enjoyed it in a way. But I'm glad you decided to leave so early.
We have to leave now. It's 7:30, and if I'm not back by 8:00, you'll be in trouble.
What for?
For taking me to the fairground where my mum said I couldn't go.
James, that was very dishonest.
Well, it hasn't hurt anybody, and you've had more fun than you would have had with the Women's Guild.
That is not the point, James. If anything stopped me getting you home in time, I'd be in trouble with your mother.
There's nothing can stop us getting home in time.
Is this your car, sir?
Except this copper.
Yes, Constable. Is anything amiss?
Yes, sir. I've been here for nearly an hour and a half watching your car.
Oh, Mr. Craythorpe, give him a bob and let's go.
Quiet, James. Is this a restricted zone, then?
Well, the fur's on it is, sir.
Oh.
You can see our temporary no parking signs. Well, at least you can see one of them. The other one's under your back wheel.
Oh, dear. Does this mean you're going to arrest me?
No, but it is an offence, sir. Still, I'm prepared to overlook it this time, but don't let it happen again.
Oh, I assure you, I shall be most careful not to transgress again.
Just as a matter of form, sir, could I see your driving licence and insurance?
Oh, most certainly. Here you are. Here's my insurance, and here's my... Oh, dear. I'm afraid the licence is in my other suit.
Well, I shall have to report that, sir. But provided you produce it at the police station within 5 days, it'll be all right.
It's a good job you don't want his TV licence, because he hasn't got one.
James. He means I haven't got a television set.
What was the name, sir?
Theodore Craythorpe.
How do you spell it?
It's easy. A T and a H and a H and a H and a door. And a K and a R.
All right. I'll manage.
So you've been here since 6:15, Theodore?
Well, yes. That was the time I arrived.
Oh.
So you weren't on your own, Jimmy?
No, Mr. Craythorpe took me, stayed with me.
I'm sorry I was out, Theodore. You have had a long wait here.
Oh, it didn't seem long to us. We had a smashing time. Except when Mr. Craythorpe fainted on the big easy chair.
Fainted?
I didn't actually faint. I came over a little weak with the heat.
But we haven't had a fire on all day.
No, but I'm still wearing my winter underwear.
Jimmy, you didn't get Mr. Craythorpe playing any silly games, did you?
No, we didn't play anything.
Were you watching television, then?
Yes.
No.
What?
Well, I was going to watch Laramie, but Mr. Craythorpe doesn't like cowboys. It's the way the horses go up and down. It makes him feel sick.
Mrs. Clitheroe, could we discuss the Women's Guild?
Well, I'd rather leave it till tomorrow, Theodore. I've got a lot of baking to do, you know. You're coming to lunch, aren't you?
Oh, yes, that's very kind of you. I'll come straight here from the police station.
The police station?
Yes, I've got to go there to show them my driving licence.
Yes, he hadn't got his licence and his car was stuck on a no parking sign outside their house.
You mean he stopped you parking outside your own house?
Well, it's a restricted zone now, apparently, and I think I'd better go home. My sister's waiting for me to put my foot in it. I'd better put my best foot forward and get home.
Yes, good night, Mr. Craythorpe.
Good night, James. Good night, Mrs. Clitheroe, Mr. Sinclair.
Night.
Good night, Susan. Oh, she's not here.
Are you sure you're all right, Theodore?
Oh, yes, at least I will be as soon as I get out of here. Get home. Good morning. Good night.
Come in, Theodore. Sit down there, near the fire.
Thank you, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Lunch will only be 5 minutes.
But doesn't Mr. Sinclair usually sit here?
Oh, no, that's all right. Here's the Sunday paper, if you haven't read it.
Oh, thank you. No, I haven't read it. As a matter of fact, my sister doesn't approve of this particular one. It's all those pin-up girls, I think.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a pretty girl in a bathing costume.
Oh, no, I'm all for it.
When do we eat, Mum? My tummy's doing a war dance. Hey, Mr. Craythorpe, that's me granddad's chair.
Jimmy, don't be cheeky. Mr. Craythorpe's our guest and he can sit where he likes.
Is lunch ready, Pat? Oh, Craythorpe. You're comfortable in that chair? With the paper?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Sinclair.
You wouldn't like me to send Jimmy upstairs for my carpet slippers, would you?
Father, will you please try to behave yourself?
Anyway, Theodore, I'm surprised to see you're still at liberty.
What do you mean?
Well, Susan said that when she was coming home from a church, she saw you going into the police station. I didn't think they'd let a desperate character let you out again.
Well, as a matter of fact, I had quite an experience there. I was rather disturbed at first, and then I saw the funny side of it.
Well, what do you mean, Theodore?
Well, I went in to show them my driving license, and I was talking to that sergeant, Harrison, and he was telling me that a lady had her handbag snatched, and they were holding an identification parade. They had this ugly brute, whom they suspected, and they were bringing people in from the street to stand beside him. Then he asked me if I'd take part, so of course, well, I said yes. But imagine my horror when the lady picked me out.
You're joking, Theodore.
No, no, I'm not. She pointed her finger straight at me and said, "That's the thieving rat. Lock him up."
And you mean you've escaped?
No, no. The sergeant realized that it was a mistake. Oh, we had a jolly good laugh over it. Fancy thinking I was the cosh boy.
Oh, I don't know, Theodore. Well, you...
Father, stop teasing. You see, it just shows how mistakes can happen, though. The man is probably nothing like you.
I'll see who's at the door, Mother.
All right.
Ozzy told me they were going to arrest his dad once just for being asleep.
What, in bed?
No, in the gutter.
Someone see you, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, who is it?
Sergeant Harrison. Oh, come in, Sergeant.
Thank you, miss. I'm sorry to disturb you on a Sunday, but your sister said I'd find you here, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, yes. I suppose the lady's changed her mind now, has she?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, she hasn't.
Oh.
And I've had orders to ask you for some particulars.
Would you like to see the sergeant alone, Theodore?
Oh, no, no. I've nothing to hide. Now, how can I help you, Sergeant?
Well, sir, I realize I'm wasting my time, but the super insists I get a statement of your movements yesterday.
Oh, that's easy. I can remember what I was doing every minute of the day.
Good. Well, would you just tell me where you were between 6 and 8 last night?
Certainly. I was...
Mr. Craythorpe!
No, I'm afraid I can't tell you.
You mean you don't remember after all?
Oh, yes, yes, I remember, but I just can't say at the moment.
Well, I don't think the super will be satisfied with that, sir.
No, quite. Well, look, could I just speak to you in the hall?
Certainly, sir.
Excuse us a moment.
What was the matter with him? Why didn't he tell the sergeant he was here with Jimmy while we were at the hospital?
Well, he's embarrassed. He'll be telling him now. I mean, Jimmy, come away from that keyhole.
I was just wondering how much he's telling him. What he's telling him.
Just wait in the hall, sir. It shouldn't take a minute. Did any of you see Mr. Craythorpe between 6 and 8 last night?
I did, Sergeant.
Yes, we were out till 8 o'clock, you see. Mr. Craythorpe came here at 6:15 and stayed with Jimmy till we got back.
Is that so? Was he here with you all the time, sonny?
Well, he wasn't here all the time. He was sort of up and down and round about.
Just as a matter of interest, sonny, did you go to the fairground at all last week?
Me? Well, I was going yesterday, but my mum and granddad wouldn't let me, would you?
No, that's why we were very pleased when Mr. Craythorpe said he'd been in the house all the time with Jimmy.
Oh, he said that, did he? Thank you. Well, excuse me, I just want to have another word with Mr. Craythorpe.
Well, Sergeant?
Not well at all, sir. I'm afraid they don't corroborate your statement. They say you were here all the time and the boy didn't go to the fair.
Well, of course they'd say that. We didn't tell them we'd been to the fair so the boy wouldn't get into trouble. But I do assure you...
Mr. Craythorpe, I advise you to think this matter over and come down to the station later to make a statement.
But I assure you, there's no necessity...
I wouldn't say any more now, sir. Take my advice. Think it over carefully. And consult a solicitor. ¶¶
leave the fairground till 7:30.
If you told me this at home, Sonny, Mr. Craythorpe wouldn't have had to bring you to the police station.
Oh, well, I couldn't tell you at home. I didn't want to get into trouble, because I wanted Mr. Craythorpe to tell me which story we were using.
James, what are you saying?
Just a minute, sir. Sonny, I suppose Mr. Craythorpe talked to you before you came down here.
Oh, yes, he told me you didn't believe him, so I had to come to the police station and say we were both at the fair.
He told you to say that?
Yes.
James, you're not explaining this properly.
Well, I'm doing my best. I told him everything you said.
James, I didn't tell you to say these things.
Yes, you did. When you got me in the hall, you said, he won't take any notice of me. Maybe the silly old fool will believe you.
Sergeant, I assure you, the boy doesn't realize what he's saying.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't accept this evidence. I must make further inquiries. I've got some other business to attend to now, so I'll leave you to think it over. But in the meantime, I shouldn't leave town if I were you.
What's the matter with him?
He still thinks I committed the crime.
But how could you? He said it was at 7:00 and I was on the fairground with you.
I know that.
I remember the town hall clock striking 7, just as I was going into the funhouse. Hey, you stayed outside.
Well?
You could have pinched the woman's handbag, you know.
You know very well I didn't.
I believe you. But will the judge?
There's only one way to settle this. That woman was mistaken, and I'm going to make her admit it.
Mr. Craythorpe, you're not going to cosh her again, are you?
James, I'll cosh you in a moment. Now, just be quiet. What did the sergeant say her name was?
Mrs. Leggett, 21 Grosvenor Road.
That's it. I'll go at once, and you're coming with me.
I'm sorry to be so insistent, Mrs. Leggett, but are you sure that was the man? He doesn't look the type to me.
I'm positive. I'd know that face anywhere.
Well, you admit the light wasn't very good. You could have been mistaken.
Well, I'm not. Just a minute while I answer the door. Police, the way they keep on, you'd think I was a criminal instead of the victim.
I found you.
Oh, keep away from me, you villain.
Look, madam, I'm just about at the end of my patience. If you don't tell the police you're mistaken about me, you'll be in serious trouble.
That's telling them, Mr. Craythorpe.
Don't you threaten me. Sergeant Harrison, come here quick.
Who did you say?
He's the sergeant. Make her tell him. Twist her arm.
Yeah, what's going on here? What are you doing here, Mr. Craythorpe?
Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. Threatening me. He says if I don't say I'm mistaken, I'll be for it.
I did not. I said you'd be in trouble.
You're the one who's in trouble, and you're getting deeper every minute.
Look, if I committed the crime, where's the evidence? Where is the handbag?
The police have got the handbag, as you know. You threw it behind the bushes after you'd taken the pound that was in it.
Listen, sir. Every time you open your mouth, you make things worse for yourself.
He's right, Mr. Craythorpe. There's only one thing to do.
What's that?
Give the woman a pound back and let's go on.
Well, if there's one thing I like, it's high tea on a Sunday.
Would you like this last piece of apple pie, Father?
Oh, no, thanks. I just couldn't eat another bite.
How about you, Susan?
No, thanks, Mother.
What do you...
Yes, please.
You've had two already, you little hog. If you eat any more, you'll burst.
All right, just pass the plate and stand well back.
Your table manners. I'd be ashamed to take you anywhere decent.
Well, we're not anywhere decent. We're at home.
Thanks very much.
Well, you know what I mean, ma'am. There's just us, no visitors.
Yes, it's strange Theodore hasn't come in for his tea as well.
I think he's practicing for when they put him on bread and water.
That's not funny, Jimmy. Mr. Craythorpe's very upset.
Didn't they get it all cleared up when you went to the police station?
Don't ask me, Father. Jimmy says he told them what happened.
Yes, and they didn't believe him. They probably know what a little fibber he is.
Me? A fibber? You can talk. The lies you tell your boyfriends. One rings up and you've just washed your hair. Another calls at the door and you have a headache. And all the time you've got Billy Parker in the front room waiting to start smooching.
Shut up.
I hope you don't mind me coming in the back way, but it's important.
What's the good of minding? You're already in.
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. What is it? Something the matter with Ozzy?
There's nothing wrong with Ozzy.
That a good bath won't get rid of.
It's to do with Craythorpe.
We're aware of Mr. Craythorpe's trouble, and we don't wish to gossip about it.
Well, he's not in trouble. They know he didn't attack the woman. I told them.
So you were the ugly brute who cussed her.
I'll have your look all yet.
Quiet, Jimmy. What happened?
I told them I saw Craythorpe. I saw him half a dozen times between 6 and 7:30.
You weren't here last night.
No, neither was Craythorpe. He was at the fairground for over an hour with that brat of yours.
What? Is this true, Jimmy? Jimmy! Jimmy!
I'll find him. He'll feel the weight of my hand. Jimmy, where are you? What are you doing on that phone?
Hello, Sergeant Harrison. Jimmy Clitheroe here. Come quick. I think I'm going to need police protection.
In that recording of The Clitheroe Kid, you heard Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams, Diana Day, Tony Melody, Brian Truman, Betty Olberge, and Alan Rothwell. The theme music was written by Alan Roper and played by the BBC Northern Dance Orchestra, directed by Alan Ainsworth. The programme, which was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe and produced by James Casey, starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
I thought you'd like to know everything was sorted out. The police got the right man, Mr. Craythorpe got an apology from the woman, and I got Grandad's slipper on me, you know what. Still, it was worth it to go on the roundabouts. So I didn't cry. Mr. Craythorpe said I was a little hero, and he'll take me to the fairground next year. Then he cracked one of his horrible jokes. He said, "After all, the brave deserve the fair." Don't somebody...